This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Almost every summer of my childhood, my family went camping at Ocala National Forest, at least as many childhood summers as I can remember. And we would go to a place called Alexander Springs. Now, there were eight of us. And we would pile into this big old station wagon. My dad would put the pram on top, and we'd have a trailer behind us. We must have looked like the Beverly Hillbillies going down the turnpike, which was, I-95 wasn't even here yet. So we would make that three-hour trek, and we would get so excited every summer because it was just so much fun. We would go swimming in the springs, we'd go exploring in the woods, we'd trek out with my dad, trying to discover all kinds of things in the area. We'd set up the tents. My dad and brothers would hook up these big tarpaulins over the picnic table, set up the Coleman stove, and he had made this food chest. It was about this high, about this wide, and it had all these little compartments and cubby holes so that every little place was perfect for whatever was needed for food and paper towels and all that. And it had a big door that closed and locked, so that things wouldn't get jostled on the trip, and also to keep the raccoons out at night, because it lived on the picnic table for the whole time we were there. So this was just this amazing little campsite. But my favorite memory about those camping trips is early in the morning. I would wake up usually before my brothers and sisters, and I'd be laying there in my tent, and what would awaken me was the smell of a campfire, and the smell of coffee, and the smell of bacon. And then I could hear the birds. And I'd look out of the tent, and my dad would be there. I don't know what time he got up in the morning, but he was always there when the sun was coming up, out there cooking away. Early in the morning, ready and willing to feed us. Wonderful memory. This is exactly what was going on that beach at the shore of Tiberias with Jesus and his disciples, except to an ultimate degree. Jesus, early in the morning, ready and willing, campfire going, fish cooking, ready and willing to feed the disciples. So I want to back up just a little bit. Rewind to see what brought us to this little breakfast on the beach scene. They had been with Jesus for 3 years, right? They'd gone with him in this ministry, and they had just spent this horrific week where they watched him go into Jerusalem and be put on trial and then be crucified as they hid out, except for the women and John, in fear for their lives. And then Jesus appeared to them. Can you imagine how they felt at that point? They were physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally exhausted. They had to be. And by the point where our story happens today, they had gone back to Galilee. So remember, they had all gone down to Jerusalem for the Passover, and now they had gone the 60 miles back to Galilee. And as people do when they've gone through a really hard time or tumultuous, something traumatic in their lives, it's good to do something normal, just something every day. You know, somebody dies and gardening sometimes will help, just to plant some plants or to just sit and have a cup of tea, just to read a novel, something just every day, regular, cleaning the kitchen. So Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. Fishing, he knew. That was his profession way back on that same shore. That's what he was doing when Jesus first called him and said, follow me. So he's going fishing. I've got to just go fishing. And the other six disciples who were there with him said, well, we're going too. We're going to go with you. So as they did back then, and I guess some people still do now, they fished all night. So they had gone out fishing on this sea that they knew very well. And they thought, oh, good, so we'll be able to just catch some fish and just have a regular, you know, fish fry or whatever they did. But nothing could have been further from the truth, because all night long, the nets were empty. They would throw them in and haul them back in, nothing. Haul them, put them out, haul them back in, nothing. And then finally, this stranger starts calling to them and calling them children, which was kind of weird, saying, children, throw your nets on the other side. Well, they figured, okay, well, we'll try anything now, and they did it. And they had so many fish that they couldn't even haul the net into the boat, couldn't even bring it in. And they finally, because of the beloved disciple, who some people write was John, others say it could have been Mary Magdalene, possible, said, that's the Lord. I recognize him. That's the Lord. And then, at that, they all went in. Peter jumps in. We really don't know why he was naked, other than some people say he may have just had like a loincloth on because he was hot and tired and sweaty and they were working, you know, but I couldn't find the real reason in all the commentaries. But he jumps in the water, swims to shore. They come in the 100 feet. And there's Jesus, early in the morning, ready and willing to feed them, to nurture them, to give them sustenance. And Jesus comes to us when we're tired, when we're spent, when we don't know what to do. Jesus is there, coming to us too, ready and willing to feed us if we can recognize him. Sometimes Jesus comes to us like a whisper, so this still small voice, and maybe it's just in something a friend says. Maybe it's something in a show that just reminds you of the call of Christ. Maybe it's just a louder voice telling you to do something different in your life, to stop doing the same thing and expecting different results, but to throw your nets on the other side, try something new. Try something different if you're trying to achieve something and it's not working. Maybe it's that. Christ working through other people to give you new ideas, maybe through a counselor. And sometimes Jesus comes to us like he came to Saul in the first reading. And we're blinded by the light with this amazing conversion experience. It's rare, but it happens. I've gotten to know this young man recently who has had that kind of an experience. He lost the lower part of his right leg. It was amputated after a car wreck in which he was driving drunk. And thank God nobody else died in the wreck. He, to this day, gives thanks and praise every time he looks down at his prosthesis, every time he looks at his stump, because he's had a conversion. He's had a complete blinding by the light conversion in following Christ now. And he lives his life feeding others by his very personality, because he's joyful, he's sober, he's optimistic, he's motivated, and he's soon to be married. Blinded by the light, Jesus came to him and comes to all of us. I think that I can assume that we all come here every week to be fed. And we also come here to praise and worship God and to have fellowship with other people who are also seeking and finding. But we come to be fed. And today is no different, and we will gather around this altar rail, and we'll come forward and put out our hands and be fed by the body and blood of Christ. And I hope that you will also, when you come each week here, know that you will come not just for courage, but for strength, and not just for forgiveness, but for renewal of life, Because the feeding, when we are fed by Christ, that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of the new day. That's the early morning. And then, what does Christ say? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Go out from this place and do my work. And do my work. Maybe it's with our family members. Maybe it's in a more overt way. Maybe it's in changing something that's wrong in this world. Feed my sheep. Because that's the real service. We call this a service. But the real service begins when we go outside these walls. We go outside these walls to change the world. Jesus comes to us, is always there for us, early in the morning, in every moment, ready and willing to feed us and then lead us, and says, follow me. Follow me and transform this hurting world. Let us pray. Compassionate Christ, early in the morning, you wait for us, ready with a warm fire and a hearty meal. You invite us to dine on the knowledge that love is stronger than hate, that life has the final word over death, that beyond what we can see with our eyes, there is a bond of humanness that draws and keeps us together in the midst of anxieties of world affairs that cry of violence as solution. We know that there are also voices of reason and peace. Perhaps they speak in whispers, Lord Christ, but they speak nonetheless. May those whispers rise to shouts that feed humanity, that proclaim the way forward with words and not weapons. There are seeds of justice and love and goodness and grace that can feed all of God's children every moment of every day, and are changing and transforming this world. We give thanks to you for those who rise early in the morning to prepare food at countless soup kitchens around the world, who search the night streets for lost children and shepherd them to places of safety, who keep watch amidst the sick and dying in countless hospitals, hospices, and homes, who take the time to listen and talk with loved ones, talk through a problem, and though difficult, do so speaking the truth in love. Thank you, Lord Christ, for your constant presence, ready to feed us and challenge us to feed others. Amen.
Amen.